Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Orange Tapes. I'm your host, Nicole J. I started this podcast because I saw the need to create a safe space for healthier and deeper conversations about faith, culture, and life. So if you're anything like me, you're tired of shallow convos and you want something real and relatable, then the Orange Tapes is the podcast for you. In this episode, I invited a very special guest, my brother. And I invited him to share his experience with being in a Christian community where his leader was accused of sexual allegations. I know this topic was very heavy, and it was heavy for me to hear certain things that he was saying, but I enjoyed the fact that we were able to have that space to have this conversation. And I do hope that as you guys listen, that you're able to just lean in and learn something new. You're able to take something away from the episode that you could personally keep or share with someone else. But before we peel back this topic, don't forget to follow, subscribe, rate this podcast, and leave a review. So let the OT begin. Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of the Orange Tapes podcast. I have a very special guest.
Yo.
Ola is in the building.
Hello y'all.
Or Isaiah. Welcome to the Orange Tapes.
Thank you for having me.
Nah, thank you for joining us on this episode.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, there's no one else that I would rather ask.
You don't mean that.
Y'all, I brought my brother on this episode. He's on this episode because honestly, he has firsthand experience with this topic, and I thought that he would be able to share a very like important perspective on what we're sharing today. So yeah, like a lot of what I said before, thank you so much for joining us on this episode. So over the past few years, we've been hearing about like different things happening within society and within the Christian space.
Okay.
Regarding leaders.
My Lord. Yes.
Yeah. So I thought that it would be a great opportunity for us to kind of talk about it, share our reaction to these different things that have been coming out. Ola, do you want to kind of introduce yourself?
Hello. Like she said, my name is Isaiah, and I was living in Kansas City for about 5 years, but I recently moved back to the DMV area about a year and maybe like 3 months ago. And now I'm living in Maryland, and I'm originally from Maryland. Like, we're originally from Maryland and Nigeria, you know.
Mm-hmm. And disclaimer, if you hear me call him Ola or Isaiah, it's because...
That's my Nigerian name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in our households, we call each other by, like, our Nigerian names or whatever.
Government name don't mean nothing.
Wait. So I'm going to throw out the names of different leaders that we've been hearing about over the past few years. And I want to know, like, what was your reaction when you heard about their scandal, quote unquote? So I believe it was, well, actually, I'm going to get the year wrong, but Hillsong.
Hillsong. I mean, the first time.
Not just Hillsong.
Okay.
But Carl Lentz of Hillsong. How did you respond when you heard about the scandal with Carl Lentz?
It was shocking because they put all his business out there.
Yeah.
All of it. Even the person that he allegedly had a relationship with, she had her own interview on CNN
that
or
girl
whatever.
She was going viral.
I was like, wow.
She was making all her money.
They put their business out there. So it was very shocking.
Yeah, and as a brief background, if you guys don't know about Carl Lentz, he was a pastor of a church called Hillsong in New York. Honestly, I really did follow Hillsong's ministry way much more than I do now.
Yeah.
But back then, I loved listening to Pastor Carl Lentz's sermons. I actually went to Hillsong New York a couple of times to go see them. Yeah, I was there with Bola, but either way, I went to New York a couple of times to just go see Pastor Carl Lentz preach at Hillsong New York.
And when it came to the scandal, what had happened was they basically said that he was cheating on his wife. And from what I remember, they said that he kind of was avoiding accountability for it for a while.
It seems like.
Mm-hmm. And then it just snowballed into this huge thing that broke the internet and kind of, well, not kind of, but really impacted Hillsong Church.
Yes.
And it impacted his family.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when I first heard about it, I was really heartbroken. I won't lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I really did listen to Carlin's a lot, like to the point that I had like, some of his sermons in my notes on my iPhone or screenshots of things that he's said and quotes and all that sort of stuff. So when I heard about Carlin's, it really did break my heart, because at that time, Pastor Judah Smith of, I think it was called City Church, he was my favorite, like, pastor.
Yes, I know. I remember that. Yeah, you really
love him. I still love Pastor Judah Smith. And he was best friends with Carlin's. So to see that happening, it was just like, oh my gosh. But yeah, so that's the one leader that we've known has kind of had a public fall. What about Pastor Toby of SPAC Nation?
I be fly ass.
Offending with Fendi.
Had all the baddest cars and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't too shocked. Hey, I was not too shocked about
it. To be honest.
Come on, guys.
To be honest, I wasn't too shocked about Pastor Toby. Did you ever watch the SPAC Nation Absolutely documentary? I watched it, actually. I watched it because I really needed to know.
There was nothing I needed to know.
I needed to get into the nitty gritty of what was going on there. And the thing about me is, I mean, if I hear it on the internet, if I see it on the internet or hear it on the news, I want to verify, like, this is actually real. Because, like, it's easy for anyone to come out and say, oh, yeah, this person did this, this person did that. But I want to know, like, are these allegations true?
Are they credible?
Are they credible? So that's the only reason why I even watch these documentaries. Even with Hillsong, did you watch the documentary?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so I watched the documentary as well, because, I mean, I need to know the facts of what's going on. Yes. So the Pastor Toby on one, when it came to SPAC Nation, I was just like, I mean, I kind of knew it, but this just confirmed that this guy needs to repent.
Bad guy.
He needs to repent now.
Didn't they send him back to Nigeria?
Yeah, I think so. I think they did. This guy needs to be on his way back if they have not sent him back yet. He needs to go.
Aw.
Yeah. Okay, so the last person that I'm bringing up is Ravi Zacharias.
My girl.
Yeah.
Ravi Zacharias. I think, didn't it first come out in 2020 or 2019, 2020?
I believe so. Mm-hmm.
Where, like, it really came to light. And this was already by the time he was dead.
Oh, yes, yeah.
It was already by the time he was dead.
Yeah.
So that's why it even hit harder for a lot of people. Because it's like, man, that man took it to the grave.
He took it to the grave.
Which is one of the craziest things to do, by the way.
Yeah. And from what I remember, from Ravi Zacharias, they said that he was kind of going on missions trips and grooming different women.
Something like that. Something like massage parlors and different things like that, grooming. And so it was very wild.
Yeah, it was really disappointing to hear about Ravi Zacharias, because back in college, he was someone that I would legit listen to as I was getting ready to go to school. I would always play like his sermons and just like learn from him, because he had so much wisdom.
Yes.
So to know, like, over the years that he was doing ministry, he wasn't just doing ministry, but he was also doing other things.
Yes.
Yeah, it was really disappointing. What about Mike Bickle?
Mike Bickle.
Pause. So before we talk about Mike Bickle, this is the reason why I actually brought Isaiah on this episode.
Yes, sir.
Because he has firsthand experience with this ministry. So I wanted Isaiah to kind of just talk about his experience with knowing the news about Mike Bickle and how it impacted his community. And at the end of the episode, share wisdom with everyone on how to kind of navigate these sort of situations. So Isaiah, before we like jump in for real, please tell us about IHOP?
So, like I said earlier, I was living in Kansas City for about 5 years. Mm-hmm. And then during those 5 years, I was part of IHOP, International House of Prayer.
Not the pancakes.
The prayer. Although I feel like they tried to do legal action versus towards IHOP.
I think they did, because how dare they do that to IHOP? Yeah, because that's the little, pancakes.
That's a little crazy. But I was part of International House of Prayer for like 5 years. And during those 5 years, for 4 of those years, I was part of the Bible school. Mm. And actually, I was introduced to International House of Prayer by my sisters. They showed me International House of Prayer maybe when I was like, I think I was like 17.
Yeah.
And by that time, I was going to conference already, to another conference. Mm-hmm. And IHOP did a conference every year.
Yeah.
One thing conference. And I was already going to another conference, and they used to tell me about this conference. And I was like, I don't know. How many conferences am I about to do in a year?
Right.
But 1 year, I was just like, maybe I should go.
Mm.
And when I went, I was, oh my goodness. It was I was so surprised. I was like, I had never seen this many believers all in one place glorifying Jesus.
Yeah.
And the next year I went to their, they did a IHOP U tour, which is a university. Like I said, they have a Bible school. And I went on the tour, and I just felt like a tug on my heartstrings of like, man, I gotta find myself down here one day.
Yeah.
And so the next year I went there.
Yeah, and Austin Paz went all out so that he wanted to go to IHOP. I think that we were all like, oh my gosh. I mean, we told you to go to the conference, but like going there for school, it was really different. It was shocking, but I'm happy that he took that leap of faith, because I don't know. I feel like if all I never went to IHOP,
uh-huh.
I don't know. I feel like that really shaped like who you are
absolutely
today.
Absolutely changed me.
Yeah. Changed yeah. Me. Like you became like yourself. Like uh-huh. You grew into who you are. So
absolutely. I will say that when I was joining IHOP, being in Kansas City did change me.
Yeah.
And did make me better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was there, and Mike Bickle was one of the main leaders in IHOP. And he was the director of IHOP for a lot of years. And they've been going on for like 26 years now.
Mm.
And for those that don't know, IHOP is a organization, and it's a 24/7 house of prayer.
Yeah.
And they base that off of, first of all, heaven. Because in heaven, they're doing, you know, nonstop worship and prayer, elders,
yeah.
Cast their crowns, all the beautiful things. And also they base it off of, you know, the book of Isaiah, where they say, like, or where God says that my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. Mm-hmm. And these are their different inspirations than David, you know, with the Levites. Those are their different inspirations on why they feel that they should do the house of prayer. Anyway, Mike Bickle was the director for that house of prayer.
Yeah.
For many years.
Many years. Mm-hmm. I remember going to the IHOP conference, One Thing conference, for the first time. I think it was I can't remember the year, but I remember first hearing about Mike Bickle and just admiring him so much for the wisdom that he carried and how much he gave the word of God. So you said that Mike Bickle was the founder and director of IHOP. What news did we hear about Mike Bickle back in 2023?
My goodness. In about October 2023, I believe it came out that years ago, the first situation that came out was that when he was in his 20s, I believe, he was grooming a 14-year-old.
Jesus.
A 14-year-old, and, you know, really grooming her and going to her school and giving her gifts, different things like that. Just so many inappropriate things. And then another marquee thing that came out was that he was also grooming a 18-year-old when he was like in his 40s too. That was also another crazy situation,
and this is while he was kind of pastoring.
He was pastoring. The second one that I said he was already pastoring IHOP. The first one he was pastoring another church with some other people. And it came out that he had been sexually abusing them, grooming them, and also came out later on that he was also altogether about 17 different females. 17 different females.
Jesus.
That's actually crazy. That he had had, whether sexual abuse or grooming, anything that it was not right for someone, especially a pastor, to do.
So what was your, what would you say your experience of Mike Bickle was before the news? And also maybe if you can speak on your community's experience with Mike Bickle before the news, like how did you all view him?
If we should be real, they viewed him like Jesus.
Was it they, or did you also view him like Jesus?
I didn't per se view him like Jesus, but I viewed him like,
my God,
the Holy One,
the glory,
the glory. So I did view him like really highly. Like anytime Mike just had this thing where, like, if he looked at you, it's kind of like he's looking into your soul, low key, and like you just feel like, wow, you're kind of blessed to even be around him, type stuff. And that's how a lot of people viewed him. So he would be like the last, one of the last people would ever think that would do this type of stuff. That's why I think it even shocked people harder. And my experience with the community is like they also viewed him in such high esteem. Because if there's 24 hours in a day, Mike was praying 25 hours. Wow. He was in the Word 25 hours. Yeah.
So to you all, he was like this perfect leader.
Yes, per se, but he always had this, you know, thing where he would be like, oh, he would say he's not, you know, perfect, or like he would, different things like that. But a lot of us did view him as like the most ideal leader on the, one of the most ideal leaders on the planet.
Yeah, which is very reasonable, to be honest. So what was your reaction when you heard about the news in 2023? Seeing as that there was this man that you once viewed as kind of like a Jesus figure is now being seen as basically a sexual abuser.
So the thing is, me and my friends and I, for a while, we used to really see the cracks in IHOP. And we were kind of like looking to ourselves or like, are we tripping, or is this place as dysfunctional as we're seeing right now? And Mike had stepped down from being the director maybe some years ago, maybe 4 years ago, five. I don't know however long. But even though he stepped down from being the director, everyone knew that there's not a decision that doesn't go through him, even when he's not even director.
So what was, what did he step down to?
He stepped down to kind of focus on his personal ministry.
Oh.
He had a, I think his personal ministry was called Friends of the Bridegroom. I'm not too sure. But he had a personal website and his own, like, personal ministry. Even though he was also one of the people that started IHOP. But he also had, like, a side personal ministry. So he stepped down to kind of more so focus on that. And he gave the leadership position director to another man named Stuart Greaves.
Okay, got it. Okay, so what were you saying about your response to the news?
My response to the news, like I said, I was shocked, but me and my friends and I, we had already seen the cracks. So we were like...
What do you mean by cracks?
Like, we saw the dysfunctional leadership. We saw the unchecked power. We saw, like, the many different people that have been hurt throughout the years. So many people had been hurt throughout the years, but there's a thing that we did kind of feels a little like brainwashing, where we kind of made them out to be, oh, they're just bitter, they're just hurt, they're just offended. But you kind of, you got to ask yourself at some point, it's all these different people are leaving, leaving after years, just leaving. You got to ask yourself, like, huh, maybe there's also a level of accountability that we can take too.
Right.
Of like, why is that person hurt? Why every other second someone's leaving?
Right.
And we're just going to label them like, oh, they're not about this. They're not really about the 24/7 lifestyle or the, you know, whatever thing that we're doing. But there's just not a level of accountability.
Sorry, quick question. Were they all leaving for the same reasons or
just different reasons whether like this person got offended because this leader did something that they shouldn't have done in terms of leadership wise or just it varies on the situation, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So basically, you all saw the news or heard of the news from...
Very shocked still.
It was still shocking.
It was very shocking. Actually, again, although we saw the cracks, we still never thought Mike would be the one that would be the... Like, that would happen. Mm. He would probably be the last person that we thought that could happen to. Or that would do that kind of thing.
Wow.
So it was very shocking. It's kind of felt like a person died, if that makes sense.
Can you go into that?
Mainly because, you know, just your idea, your perception of someone just died. And you're like, wow, this is really how they are. And of course, you never put someone, idolatry. Mm-hmm. You don't put someone where they're not meant to be.
Right.
But you just know when you submit yourself to a leader, because even the Bible says in Hebrews to submit yourself to leaders.
Mm-hmm.
But like when you really like, okay, I will follow you or my leader, that type of stuff, it kind of like your whole world just kind of shatters a little.
Right.
Because you're like, wow, this is who you really are. And no one's perfect. So there's grace. But just like that kind of like trust of like that you had in your leader, it kind of just hurts really bad.
Hmm. So would you say that that is how you were personally impacted by the situation?
Yes. It's something that's almost hard to explain. It just felt like, wow, everything that you thought is kind of being tested and your whole world is a little bit crashing.
Hmm.
And you're like, wow. So you start having second guesses about the ministry. It's having second guesses about everything, even having just thoughts towards God of like, what is true? What is false? What is everything?
Why do you think that is, that Mike Bickle's decision impacted your view of God?
Because I believe there's so many beautiful truths that I have gained from my heart. And so many times listening to his messages, and kind of we do a kind of things as human, meaning like whether our parents, if our parents mess up or if leaders mess up, we kind of like look at it with God. So if you had bad parents, you kind of like look at God too as like a bad parent, if that makes sense.
Mm.
Or if you had bad leaders, you kind of, I don't know, you kind of equate God with, of course, God is different.
Mm.
But it's just sometimes to a degree, because we're all made in the image of God, it's like, it's hard.
It's hard to distinguish between God and a leader sometimes.
Of course you can distinguish, but what I'm trying to say is like, mainly because of all the different truths, all the different times that you've received from that leader.
Yeah.
It kind of like, it just really hurts your worldview, and it really like, also sometimes can affect your relationship with God, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so I feel like sometimes it may be hard for people to separate their emotions towards God versus towards their leader. It's because for the most part, I know that we all have our own personal relationship. We all have our own personal relationships with God.
Yes.
In reality, there are times where we funnel that relationship with God through the vessel that he's using. So psychologically speaking, it only makes sense that if the vessel he has used in our lives is being impacted, it may impact the connection that we had with him. It's not like an excuse as to why we should leave him.
Yes.
Totally, but we could understand why it has impacted our relationship with God. So there's this one quote that I always see on social media, and I have the quote here, and I just wanted you to share what you think about this quote.
Mm-hmm.
It says, if being hurt by people in the church causes you to leave and stop going to church, then your faith was in people, not in God. What do you think about that?
When I have heard that saying before in different contexts, and I feel like that saying is not very fair. as humans, we're really emotional beings. And so we really feel deeply. And sometimes people can do some very hurtful stuff. And that can make people run away from God. So there's a level of accountability that we should also have within the church, within ourselves, of like, man, sometimes some leaders really mess up. Some leaders really drop the ball. And that's not fair to say that person's relationship was never genuine just because they really got deeply wounded by someone. So I don't really like that saying at all.
Yeah. And I think that, like you said, accountability really does matter in this situation. And I think there's a reason why God calls leaders to a certain standard.
It's crazy. Like, take some time and like really pick out the different stuff that God says about how much leaders should really. It's crazy. I'm like, it kind of makes you scared to even be a leader.
Yeah.
With the way God doesn't mess around. Like, that shows you, that also shows you how much God doesn't mess around
with his children.
If he's like saying like, bruh, if you really want to be a leader, like, lock in.
Random, but not really random. It reminds me of the story of Moses in the Bible. You remember how Moses was leading the people of Israel? And I don't know if you noticed, but Moses had a lot of anger issues.
A lot.
Yeah, Moses was kirking a lot in the Bible. So it reminds me of the story of Moses and how in different scenarios, we saw that he did have anger issues. And one of the last scenarios was when God commanded him to strike the rock. And Moses didn't necessarily follow God's command. And the reason why Moses didn't follow God's command, when I read that, I realized because Moses was doing things now out of irritation and doing things out of his emotions. And his emotions were starting to impact his walk with God and his influence on and his interactions with the people. And as a result of that, God told Moses that he can no longer enter the promised land because he no longer had the heart that God had for his people, or that God has for his people. And I think it's dangerous when a leader is called to lead a sheep, or is called to pastor, called to teach, called to preach, or whatever, and no longer has the heart that God has for people, or is moving in a direction that is no longer in the will of God. So if a leader is now acting in a way that's outside of the will of God and it impacts the person that they're leading, we can't necessarily just blame the person and say, oh yeah, you never had faith in God in the first place. We also have to look at how this leader's actions can impact the person that they're leading, because God looked at it. God saw Moses in the Old Testament and God told him, you can't go into this promised land with this sort of attitude. So yeah, and when I think about that quote, I also agree with you when I say it's not fair, because accountability has to be taken on both parts. Did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
I feel like what's going on right now in our world with all these different leaders that are being exposed, I feel like it's in a sort of way kind of judgment from God. I feel like God has been so patient, slow to anger and kind with a lot of the leaders for many years, because a lot of them for many years had time to repent and turn their ways. But some of them just didn't. Or maybe some of them repented, but in their ideology, they thought it was okay to just repent behind closed doors and not just say like, oh, I sexually abused this girl years ago, you know?
Can I say something? So I feel like it may come off as a judgment of God, but I see it as the mercy of God as well, because the fact that that leader is still here on earth,
of course,
they have an opportunity to repent. So a lot of people will not repent unless things happen to them. So to me, it's like God has allowed you to face the consequences of your sin, and out of his mercy, you didn't go to hell like that.
Yes.
Out of his mercy, you still have an opportunity to repent on earth. The people who I'm more scared for are the leaders who died unrepentant.
Yes.
Or even generally speaking, when people die unrepentant, because it's like God has given us so many years on this earth out of his mercy to come back to him. But when we don't, we just end up in places that we don't want to be. So I wanted to ask you, what do you think accountability should look like or should have looked like in this IHOP situation?
That's a tricky one, because this IHOP situation was an absolute mess.
Mm.
There was just, you could really see how much there was a lack of accountability with leadership at IHOP.
Mm.
There was no one really checking anyone. It was just like a governing body at IHOP that had all the power, and it was their way or the highway, you know? And maybe in an ideal system, it would be nice for there to really be, whether, you know, some churches, some denominations, they do elders.
And
that could get tricky too, because even what if the elders are corrupt, whatever. But there, for a sense, I think it looks like a church not being too big that they don't accept feedback, or they don't accept, you know, pushback, in a sense of like, you're not nitpicking a church and like, you should do this, you should, but like genuine, healthy, like, hey, pastor, you know, have you thought about this, or I didn't really like this, and just healthy discourse.
Yeah, it's not an attack.
Yeah, it's not every time is an attack. Like to expose darkness, to talk about these kind of things, to, you know, pushback, or, you know, different things like that, I don't feel like it's an attack or from the enemy. I feel like it's healthy. I feel like Mike Bickle years ago should have at least told his pastors that he was pastoring with, because he didn't do that. Some of his pastors that he was pastoring with back then, they came out and said like, oh, Mike never told us about this.
Mm.
And he should have submitted himself to his other leaders and be like, hey.
Yeah, every leader has a leader. That's a key point.
And Mike, now, he did not have anyone. Okay, there were some prophetic voices that he got inspired to do, that he got inspired from in this ministry that he started, IHOP. There were some prophetic voices that were speaking into his life. But those people too, they got exposed for their different things that they were doing. Some of them were abusing minors too.
My God.
Which is, that's a whole nother crazy. There's three different, I'm not going to name drop them. But the community knows, the IHOP community, they know. There's three different voices that were speaking into Mike's life. And it all came out that those three different voices were doing crazy things too.
Wow.
So I'm like, this is just a cycle of
blind leading the blind.
Blind leading the blind. But in an ideal system, it would be nice for a leader to have a leader that they check in with. And then I'm like, oh, how's your heart?
That's good.
But Mike, he did not have anyone he was checking in with. Like,
Well, that's good. So where do you think grace comes in to these scenarios where we hear different news about leaders kind of falling and scandals and all that sort of stuff? Do they deserve grace? Where does grace come in?
Absolutely. Grace and mercy all the way. But in this particular situation, he has not really been repentant. It's kind of like he's been a little blind, per se. And so that's the gripe that a lot of people are dealing with. A lot of people are even more hurt now because they're like, this man has not come forward to really like
say sorry.
It feels very, even in his statement that he published like maybe a year ago, it still felt a little like, I don't know, somehow.
So do you think repentance in this sort of scenario would look like the leader coming forth and just saying sorry, or do you think that they should do anything else?
The leader saying sorry, not only that, but just being transparent. The leadership team was not very transparent with us when this thing was happening, when this thing happened. And that made people even spiral even more, because the leadership team that was at IHOP at that time, they were not being very transparent with us. It was, it felt a lot of the gray areas. And so people just started to spiral even more. And I think if what Mike could do now is just more transparency and, you know, really come forward and like have ownership. Mm-hmm. I think if he did that, not people wouldn't have been as hurt as they are now. But him just doing this wishy-washy thing, I don't know, it kind of left a lot of people like very confused.
Yeah, and now that you say that, I think I'm thinking back to Carlin's situation, and I think that the reason why more people are more accepting of him now is because I believe that he's shown us that he's done the work to not be who he was before.
Absolutely.
Not saying that he necessarily has to prove anything to us, because we're not really his. I wasn't in his church.
I'm not his wife or not.
I'm not his child. So he don't owe me nothing for real. But it was great to just see that this leader who was in a public eye publicly did the work to show that he has repented and he's doing things the right way now.
By the grace of God.
And I really do respect Carl Lentz. Like, I remember listening to one of his podcast episodes and him just sharing, I think it was the one with his family. I listened to the one with his family, and I also listened to the one that he did with Chandler Moore, and I was just observing his mannerisms. Like, legit, it don't take Carl Lentz much to cry. Don't take him much to cry. Like, legit, he be crying. And I'm like, oh, wow, he's very emotional. But at the same time, I appreciate, like, how transparent he is with people.
Absolutely.
And he's, like, really letting people into his world.
And that's the difference. It's like, if you can just really be transparent and open, it's like people are very want to forgive. And, you know, no one wants to just like, everyone at the end of the day wants the same thing, and that's Jesus to be glorified.
Yeah.
And, you know, for the church to grow. No one wants to bash down, take down the church.
Yeah.
No one wants
Some people do. Not him.
I don't.
Yeah.
My heart is not for that. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like there's a problem going on even today. When it comes to IHOP, there's still that us versus them mentality that's been in IHOP for years. That us versus them mentality shut down a lot of the people that have been abused by ministries and IHOP, and just IHOP. You know, it happens in other ministries too, where like, oh, if someone else has a disagreement or is hurt, you know, they're the enemy now, or they're just, you know, you kind of dismiss them. But no, even if I have nothing, one thing I'll never do is tell someone to leave a ministry or tell someone to leave IHOP. You know, you do what you want. You're a grown adult. Mm. You have the Holy Spirit like I have the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. If you're still at IHOP, God bless you. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
But one thing I will say is actually look at what's happening. Don't try to have your fingers in your ears and try to act like
it's not happening.
Things are not burning right now.
Right.
It's okay to actually see what's happening and try to use discernment to move through it and, you know, ask the Lord for help. So, yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of times, maybe even those people who are kind of blind to what they're seeing is not because they're intentionally being blind, but because of like some sort of manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm seeing now today, like even on Facebook, whatever it is, it still feels like a us versus them. Oh, it feels like the IHOP people that are still in IHOP versus the former IHOP people that are outside of IHOP. And it should never be like that.
It should never be like that.
We all want the same thing. Mm. And that's for Jesus to be glorified and to really to expose these wolves in sheep clothing.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing that, Ola. I just have a few more questions. How are you currently like navigating the impact of what has happened?
It's been hard. This whole situation has been deeply traumatic. Whether it's how my view, because I still love the Lord, but it had impacted just my relationship with God on like trusting, having trust issues. Kind of feels like PTSD. Even though you know they're not all leaders are the same and that they're genuine good leaders, it still kind of like gives you like, oh my gosh, is this leader going to do the same thing? Or what is this leader really about? You know? So I feel like even though I know the truth of the gospel, that does not negate the feelings that I have or like the PTSD that I feel when it comes to leadership or, you know, when it comes to joining church or like even with God. So by the grace of God, it will take a lot of us, anyone that has gone through leaders falling or any type of trauma in church, it sometimes take years to really unravel these things that are happening.
So how would you say you're trying to unravel?
Although I've been really changed by IHOP, just kind of like unraveling the different unhealthy mindsets they may have, you know, put on me because I was there, or I may have learned, that's a better word, I may have learned from there. So just kind of like unraveling, like, hey, what are some unhealthy things that I learned from there that maybe I shouldn't be walking out anymore? Like, for example, a lot of us know that we kind of like had a little bit of an elitist spirit.
Wow.
If that makes sense. Mainly because we were really going deep in the Bible.
So you mean like self-righteous?
Self-righteous. We were really self-righteous sometimes.
Really?
Absolutely. Because we were going deep in the Bible, touching on different topics that a lot of the body of Christ was not touching on.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's end times, yeah, eschatology, the study of, you know, the end and end times, or just the book of Daniel, dissecting the book of Daniel.
Do you feel like your righteousness was found in all those things you were doing?
I think so, because, like, you know, I could tell you a random fact or whatever it is, like, just different things.
I do remember
in the Bible. Yes.
I do remember all random things in the Bible.
I'm like, it is very interesting.
Yeah.
But like, you start feeling yourself a little because you know those random things. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the IHOP, we kind of did have like a little chip on our dip on our chip, whatever. So just unraveling from that, like, bruh, it's not that deep.
Yeah, and that my identity isn't in what I know, how much I know, but my identity is in the fact that God loves me, even if I knew John 3:16.
Although it's good to know the word, but it's like not.
Yeah, God's love isn't based off of that.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Thank God it's not like that.
Legit. Thank God he's not human. Thank God, God no be my new. I fall down. Okay. All right. So what other ways do you feel like you've been healing from these traumatic experiences?
I would say talking to my friends that are in that ministry too, because a lot of us are really going through it.
So like community, basically.
Yeah, community. And like really just checking in with them. Hey, how are you feeling? Like, hey, how's it going? Because sometimes I'll talk to them and they're like, yeah, man, I've been going through it, you know? Or sometimes, I feel better today. I feel good. Because those kind of things, again, some people may not understand how deeply that impacts you, but it really does.
Yeah, and sometimes it takes it for it to happen to you.
For you to really understand.
For you to really understand. So I think it's important, like, within the body of Christ for us to be as empathetic as possible, because although I personally may have not been hurt by a leader to the degree that my brother has, just asking God for the empathy to put myself in his shoes.
Absolutely.
To know that this is something that could really traumatize a human being. So when people do experience these things within the church, I think that we should kind of take off the hat of judgment, the hat of blame, and kind of put ourselves in the shoes of both the member of the church and also in the shoes of the leader that has fallen.
Mm-hmm. Because I don't even think Jesus does that to us.
Yeah.
Jesus is very connected with our emotions.
Yes.
Jesus is very connected with what we're feeling. He feels deeply. You know, John 11:35, Jesus wept. That's the shortest verse in the Bible, but one of the most profound verses.
Even when you think about the context of it.
Yes. It's like Jesus went, you know, Jesus, it was with Lazarus' death. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jesus came a little later, and there was significance of why, you know, Jesus came a little later.
Right.
But he could have just been like, why y'all crying? I'm him. Why are you guys crying?
I'm that guy.
No, he also entered that emotion and said, man, that is crazy. That does hurt.
Seeing Mary and Martha crying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I say that to say is, if Jesus did not negate their emotions, I don't feel like that same Jesus is negating their emotions of the ones that have been hurt by the church, the ones that are still dealing with unraveling and dealing with different trauma. I feel like he's deeply cares about our trauma and cares about our healing and cares about us as humans.
Yeah. And we're not saying that Jesus is like, okay, yeah, you are traumatized, you should stay in your trauma, live there, breathe there, grow there. No, like, Jesus comes into that situation with us. Mm-hmm. He sits there with us And then he empowers us to walk out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So what advice would you give to someone who is in a similar situation with a leader that has fallen? It could even be a Christian leader or maybe someone in the within their families or in the workplace. But yeah, what advice would you give to someone in that situation?
I would say don't beat yourself up about the emotions that you're feeling and give them to the Lord. Because the Lord, just think about your best friend. Think about someone that you love so much that you just feel so open with. God, that same thought that you have when I said that, God is like that times 10,000. If you can be so open to that person, imagine how much more warm, how much more free you can be with God. So God already knows our emotions, already knows what's on our mind. So you might as well just say it out like, God, this sucks. God, blah, 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 blah. Like, and God's not going to be like, man, how dare you talk like that? God's going to be like, okay, I'm listening.
Well, yeah, that's good.
So I would say some things I would say is to really open up your heart to God, however you're feeling, even if you feel like a ton of bricks just hit you. And I would say talk to your friends, talk to your family and be like, hey, yeah, this thing is really hurting me, or this thing sucks, or whatever it is. And talk to the other people in the ministry, like, hey, how are you processing this?
So basically don't process it on your own.
Yes. If you don't have to process it on your own, process it with other people.
Yeah. And although these experiences are not the best, there was this one quote that you said, you basically, I actually don't want to say it for you. Can you let the listeners know what you said?
I feel like it's very important for us to give our emotions to God, to accept that we're grieving, to accept that we're hurt, and whether depressed or whatever it is, because it's only on this side of eternity that we're actually going to see it. And we're actually going to say like, wow, I saw Jesus. I met Jesus in the midst of my grief, in the midst of my pain, in the midst of my hurt, my trauma.
Yeah, that was perfect. Well, thank you so much, Allah/Isaiah.
Privilege.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Orange Tapes. This was a really great conversation. So thank you for sharing this space with people.
Make sure you like, subscribe, share with a friend.
Yeah, you already know what it was into. where can people follow you?
Isaiah Joe.
And he also does music. Do you know the way I do? Aww. I do. Isaiah also makes music, so please, you said they can follow you.
Isaiah.
Everywhere. Joby. Isaiah Joby. That's
ISAIAHJOBI.
Period. And like I said, with the Orange Tapes, we are the Orange Tapes Pod on TikTok and YouTube, and on Instagram and Facebook, we are the Orange Tapes. Thank you guys so much for joining us on another episode, and I will talk to you in the next episode. Bye.